Japan is providing money for a cleanup of debris from that country's tsunami last year. Alaska will receive $1 million from Japan. The money is part of a $6 million appropriation for the task to the United States and Canada. The state's congressional delegation praises the effort, but says more needs to be done by the U.S. government. Two cruise ships sailing Alaska waters have battled recent norovirus outbreaks. The highly contagious illness causes vomiting, diarrhea, and fever and can lead to dehydration. The latest outbreak is on the Dawn Princess, which is wrapping up a three-week cruise, including stops in southeast and south central Alaska. The Federal Centers for Disease Control reports 6.5% of its nearly 1,800 passengers suffered from norovirus at some time during part of the cruise. CDC staff boarded the Dawn Princess in Juneau on Friday to evaluate the outbreak. Staff also looked at crew members' efforts to disinfect the ship to prevent further cases. The CDC's Jay Dempsey says the situation has improved.
They are reporting a less than 2% number of passenger and crew members at this time. So it does seem to be that that outbreak was contained and they are sailing at a normal rate now.
The ship is due into San Francisco on Thursday. The earlier outbreak was on board the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line's Rhapsody of the Seas. Norovirus struck more than 7% of passengers during a late August Inside Passage cruise. The CDC's Canadian counterpart sent inspectors to a port call in British Columbia and deemed the outbreak under control. Dempsey says the illness is easily spread through contact with handrails, restroom fixtures, door handles, and similar surfaces.
It's just like any other time that you have a lot of people sharing the same space. You just have a greater chance a norovirus-like illness might outbreak amongst that group of people. And it's the same on land, whether you have people living in a nursing home or a dormitory or, you know, a similar situation.
The Dawn Princess and the Rhapsody of the Seas are the only two Alaska cruise ships reporting outbreaks so far this season. That's better than last year when four ships reported high norovirus numbers, one on several cruises. The sign out front still says Alaskan and Proud, but the new Foodland IGA is now open in the only large-scale grocery space in downtown Juneau. AMP shut its doors on Saturday. The supermarket stayed closed on Sunday as employees conducted inventory. It reopened yesterday with the Myers Group as the new owners. Myers Group recently signed a 10-year lease for the space with the Rosenberger family of Juneau, who are the owners of the Foodland Shopping Center. Casey Kelly has more on the story.
Myers Group President Tyler Myers says the first product shipment came off the barge Monday morning and started hitting store shelves around 10 a.m.
I imagine that it will take maybe 2 weeks before we're fully stocked up. We have a lot more product coming on the next load. What came in today was just start filling all the holes, get product back on the shelves, but we'll have quite a bit more coming.
Myers says the biggest difference customers will notice right away is the switchover to IGA-branded products instead of Western Family. But he says there will still be a variety of choices for most items, and in some cases, the selection will expand a bit.
We'll be bringing in a whole lot more natural and specialty and organic sort of items into the store. And then from there, it really will be dictated by what the customers tell us they want.
He says the store will undergo an extensive remodel, starting in about 6 months to a year. A few changes have been made already, most notably to the produce section.
Move the bananas to a different area so that they aren't close to the cold air that will give them a longer life and better quality.
All of A&P's remaining employees have been retained, but because so many left in recent months, signs posted on the front door say the store is currently accepting applications. Jeremy Schoonover is the new store manager. He specializes in opening stores for the Myers Group, most recently on Camano Island in Washington State.
They had a marching band here yesterday, and we received flowers here today, and to see people so excited, it's just, it gives me goosebumps.
Schoonover wouldn't say how long he plans to be with the Juneau store, only saying however long it takes. Myers Group and its wholesaler, Super Value, sent about a dozen employees to Juneau to stock shelves this week. Schoonover says one thing is making life a little easier for them.
The store has the largest back room I've ever seen, so that makes it so much easier, so much more of a relief, because I could run around and order. I mean, I've been ordering groceries for so many years, it doesn't really matter where you're at. People eat near the same thing.
Myers Group operates 5 IGA stores in western Washington, including markets in downtown Seattle and Tacoma. It also runs hardware stores and service stations. This is the company's first foray into Alaska. Foodland IGA is open from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily, though Myers says the hours will probably expand once the store adds more products. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
Two representatives from the village of Nutok and an immigration specialist are traveling to the Carteret Islands in Papua New Guinea to meet with islanders there this week. They'll share information on how to plan for relocating communities vulnerable to coastal erosion. Stanley Tom is the tribal administrator for the traditional council in Nutok, which is a Yupik community of about 400, about 90 miles west of Bethel. Tom says Nutok is moving forward with their own plan for relocating and training community members for jobs, building an emergency evacuation center in September.
So we are excited to build our own community. And I did send in like about 17 students to certify them at the Kotzebue. So I have like carpenters, laborers, electricians, you know, they all certified. And we're just excited to build our new community.
Tom says they built 3 houses in the new village site and are working on 3 more. He says he's hoping to learn from the Carteret Islanders and work with them to help other vulnerable communities. The Carteret Islanders are relocating because of rising sea levels. They've been called the world's first environmental refugees. Tom says for Nutok, erosion and flooding risks are increasing at a rapid pace, and the village has sunk below sea level.
The rain is coming in, right? It's pushing the land, you know, lower and lower. We're like minus 30 feet from the sea level right now. So we are really flood-prone area. The erosion is coming in. We're losing already 30 to 50 feet already. And it's coming in. I mean, our water source is nearly about 154 feet right now as we speak. And once that water source is impacted, where will we get our water?
Stanley's cousin, George Tom, is also part of the delegation to the South Pacific. George is 64 and has lived in the Nutok area all his life. He says the original village was further inland and only moved closer to the coast because of the federal government.
Because they were planning to build a BIA school that time when I was growing up in the old village sites, but the barges couldn't come in, go inland.
So the village was moved to where supplies could be more easily delivered. Robin Bronin helped spearhead the effort in bringing Alaska and New Guinea communities together. Bronin is the executive director of the Alaska Immigration Justice Project. She says she's been observing the relocation process in Nutok since 2007 and started researching other efforts around the world. She found the Carteret Islanders were moving to a bigger island. She says relocations in the past were always forced moves perpetrated by governments, but the two communities meeting in the South Pacific right now are changing that.
And what the Nutok Traditional Council and Tulele Pesa are doing is creating a different model that I believe needs to be implemented. We need to figure out how this form of relocation can be the precedent-setting model where you have communities actually making all of the decisions regarding whether they relocate, where they relocate, and how they relocate.
Bronin says the next phase of the project is for the people of the Carteret Islands to come to Alaska next spring or fall. Then a combined delegation will travel to Washington, D.C. to work with other affected communities through the Center for International Environmental Law and the UN Environment Program.